I am going to set my timer this morning, because if I don't, I could probably preach 2 or 3 hours just so much of what I want to handle this morning. I want you to say the title with me this morning. Faith. Focus. Fight. And promotion. Now, how many know that sounds like a good deal? But one of the things that we realize, you can't focus until you move in faith. You don't know what to fight until you focus, and until you fight, you're never going to have promotion. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to go to Romans chapter 4, verses 16 through 24. God has been really speaking to me a lot about Abraham. I can identify with Abraham. How many of us were out doing our own thing, and then all of a sudden God taps you on the shoulder and calls you by name and says, I've got a deal for you. I can identify with that. Let's pick up here with verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those that are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. I want you to underline that in your Bible. It is a faith, and that Abraham is the father of us all. He set the standard. He gives us the roadmap in many areas of walking with God. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now I want you to underline the next statement. Who, contrary to hope, believed in hope. We're going to come back to that here in a minute. Who, contrary to hope, believed in hope, so that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded, or fully convinced, that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. We need to understand this morning the position that God was in when God came to Abram. He was a citizen of Babylon. He was under the influence of Babylon. Not only was he under the influence of Babylon, his father was a maker of idols, and so within the Semitic languages, within the Semitic people, the son always followed in the footsteps of his father. So what did that make Abram? An idol maker. He propagated, he promoted the ways of Babylon until one day God tapped on his shoulder and called him by name. We need to understand that before Jesus came into our lives, we promoted Babylon. We promoted the things of the world. We were caught up in those things. We promoted them. They defined who we were. Yet God comes to him at a time that he was the furthest thing from what God said he could be. I want you to think about that for a minute. He was the furthest thing from what God said he could be. He was following after Molech. He was following after Ashtaroth. He dressed like a Babylonian. He thought like a Babylonian. He let Babylon define who he was, because where you hold your citizenship is what defines you. Anytime, since we are Americans, anytime that we go anywhere in the world, well, what are you? I'm an American. And that very word brings this whole concept that in some parts of the world is loved, in some parts of the world is hated, but it comes with its whole package deal. When you say you're American, when you're overseas, they don't hear Baptist, they don't hear Episcopal, they don't hear Messianic, all they hear is American, right? And they have this whole package deal with it. Well, when you say, I'm of Babylon, there is a whole package deal. He was a part of the system that was absolutely opposite of the way of God. And that is what defined who he was. Until one day God tapped him on the shoulder and said, I've got a better plan for you. I am calling you out of Babylon. I want you to leave father and mother. I want you to leave everything of Babylon behind. And I'm going to take you into a place that you cannot even yet imagine. The Bible says he was looking for a city that whose maker was God. Why? Because he wanted to be defined by that new city, not by the one that he came from. I think the greatest part of faith in Abraham was not in the production or the product of Isaac. It was not in just life coming into a dead womb and producing a child. The greatest thing of faith in his life that eventually led up to the birth of Isaac was that he began to define himself and see himself the way that God said he was, and he began to brush off all the crud of Babylon in his life. We need to ask ourselves this morning, what defines me? What defines me? Well, my past defines me. Abraham could have said that. God can't use me because I'm from Babylon. I'm from the very city that is the antithesis of everything God is ever going to do in the earth. Think about that for a minute. My past is completely against God. It's filled with pain. It's filled with anguish. It is filled with... We need to understand that when Messiah is in you, God births something new on the inside of you. But from that point on, it's knocking everything of Babylon off of your life. You're like a gem that is stuck in the middle of a dunghill. And our job is not to define us by the dung the devil piled on us, but who God says we are. Being not weak in faith, he said, you know what? God calls those things that be not as though they were, because God sees the end plan of what he has for you. And as you begin to come into agreement with it, you begin to shake off the dung of Babylon, and that no longer defines you. Because there is another reality, no matter where I have gone in the world, when you meet up with another believer and they're really walking with God, there is a spirit of adoption. There is a spirit of family there. It doesn't even matter if they speak the same language as you. You might be trying to speak broken German, and they might be trying to speak broken English, because of the difference in the countries. But there is something deeper. There is a new citizenship that is going on the inside of your hearts, and they feel like family because they're in the family of God. There is a witness on the inside of your spirit that no matter you say, I'm a citizen of Germany, I'm a citizen of Japan, I'm a citizen of this or a citizen of that, we know on the inside that God has done a work on the inside of their hearts, and that we have Jesus in common, that we have the kingdom of God in common, and that we are all looking for a city not made with hands so that we could have our citizenship there. But let me tell you something, the greatest faith is to say, I feel my pain, but I'm not going to let that pain define me, because there is a place beyond the pain. I know my past. I know what my past involved, but God has called me out of my past to walk in a new place, never to wear Babylonian garments again, never to have the dung of Babylon on me again. God is calling me to a place that I am no longer identified with that, but I'm identified with where he is taking me. That is what causes you to not waver in faith when you begin defining yourself not by who you are, where you were, but where God is taking you and what God is making you. We tend to set the saints of old on a pedestal. Today we even set ministers on pedestals. We set them up higher than they should be because they're human just like us. They have frailties just like us. They suffer hunger just like us. They'll have doubts just like us. But in the midst of the doubts, they can begin looking at what God has called them to. They can begin looking at what God is making them on the inside. And it causes them to transcend their own humanness, their own past, their own failures. Everything that the enemy is trying to set up in their lives, they can transcend that because it takes faith to look in the mirror and no longer see who you were, but you begin seeing who God is making you. It takes faith. Because one of the things I've noticed about God in my own prayer life is that when I begin dealing with him, he constantly wants to talk about where he's taking me, what he's making me, not in where I have been, but where I am going. The quickest way to get the Holy Spirit speaking in your life is allow him to begin speaking to you about where he's taking you. But you don't know, you know, in the circumstances I'm in. How many felt like that? The devil's piled that lie on you. You don't understand the circumstances that I am in. Okay. I'm in the circumstances. God begins to show me where I need to be, and all it takes is one step to move out of the circumstance. Come on now. You see, the real faith is to see where he wants to take me so that I can step out of the circumstance. That's why faith is so important. Faith sees with the spirit what your eyes cannot see in the flesh and what no one around you will let you want to do. There's circumstances that every time that you try to go on in God, there are people that try to hold you back. Come on. How many times have you tried to step forward and people try to pull you backwards? Don't leave Babylon. Why? Because we know what it is. Yeah, it's full of pain. It's full of junk. It's full of your past, but it's familiar. Well, I don't know about you, but I have had my fill of pain and hurt and sickness and disease and being squashed down. I know what it is. I've become an expert in it, but I have chosen. I am going to forget those things that are behind because I now press toward the mark of what God has called me to be. I am no longer going to let these things or other people around you. Why are you letting other people define who you are? You know what I have found? The people that try to pull me down and talk down about me the most, the only reason they do that is their lives are not worth talking about. So to feel better about themselves, to feel better about their dunghill that they're stuck neck deep in, all they can do is say, yeah, but what about over there? It's like David saying, I can kill that giant. I can do this. And his brothers say, we know the naughtiness of your heart. Yeah, the naughtiness of my heart is that dude is going down. The minute he tried to step out in faith, his own brothers tried to squash him because they were stepped back in fear, and he tried to move forward in faith, and that they were allowing Babylon to intimidate them. When God began to first move with Abram, there began to be a famine in the land, and he went down to Egypt for supplies. He let Egypt, which is a cousin of Babylon, which is an uncle, same family, same spirit, as he went back down into that, he let his past intimidate him, and it caused him to compromise who God said he was becoming, and God said, you know what, I need to act, and I need to act now, or he's going to mess everything up. How many times have we allowed the past to intimidate us so that we didn't move forward where we needed to go? How many times has the Holy Spirit moved inside of our hearts and God is saying, take a step forward, come to the altar, do something, and we let the past intimidate us and hold us back from responding in faith to the moving of the Holy Spirit? I've lost track of the times, but I have determined this in my life, no more. I am not defined by my failures in the past. I'm not defined about who I was in Babylon and all the junk the devil piled on me, and all the people that are in that quagmire around me do not define who I am, because Almighty God one day called my name and he said, come to the cross and let that cross, let those things be crucified, that through repentance and the blood of Jesus and the completed work of Christ, I have now stepped out of that by the power of God, and now I am learning that I am defined by the cross and everything on the other side of the cross, not what was on the previous side that he delivered me from. That is going to be your greatest challenge of faith. And faith could be simply defined as believing. Now, how many know that before you get saved, you look at this word, and Paul dealt with this in Romans. You find out that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God has got to show you what you are in Babylon before you'll ever want to get out. He's got to show you the filth. He's got to show you the pain. He's got to show you how that you've missed the mark. But once you come into Messiah, the same book, the book that was the law of sin and death, becomes the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That same book, post-Calvary, now shows me who I am becoming. It shows me that I'm more than a victor in Christ. It shows me a Mike Lake without pain. It shows me a Mike Lake without defeat. It shows me a Mike Lake not defined by that, but defined by the destiny and the dream that God has for me, and not what Babylon had tried to pile on me. And then as I go into that book, I begin to see myself in a new light. I begin to see myself moving in the things of God in ways that I never dreamed possible, and that the old ways that the devil used to trip me up, he might try it again, but because my walk is different, he can't get in with that rhythm and he can't trip me up. It takes faith to see that. Our old man wants to look back and say, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. And God is saying, no, have faith. Know that I can cause the enemy to be defeated every time around you. What used to defeat you in me no longer defeats you if you have faith in what I am doing in you instead of having faith in what Babylon used to do to you. Come on. Isn't that where our faith dwindles, when we get our eyes off of what God is doing and we get them back on what the devil used to do? And see, that comes to focus. What you focus on, you become. What you focus on, if I'm focusing on my pain, if I'm focusing on the hurts of the past, if I'm focusing on how the devil used to get me in the past, I'm never going to go on, because I will continually, I'm identifying with that. And when I identify with that, I am empowering those things to have power over me. The only thing that should be having power over me is the kingdom of God, the word of God, the blood of Jesus, the moving of the Holy Spirit in my life, that I am now, when I begin focusing in on what God has done and where God is taking me, these things begin to lose their power because my focus is now on that city not made with hands. And I begin defining myself by based on what I see here, not what the devil has whispered in my ears in the times past. Guys, what are you focusing on? Are you focusing on others? Are you focusing on what they say? Are you focusing on circumstances? Are you focusing on the past? Or are you focusing on the promises of God and what the Holy Spirit is saying to you? The Holy Spirit should become the loudest voice in your life. The Word of God should become the loudest voice in your life, not the things of the past. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. You guys are going to have to kind of get with it this morning, because last week I preached to a very large black church, and they have spoiled me rotten. And so It's okay to say amen. It's okay to say amen. You know, it's okay to say slam dunk Jesus. You know, whatever you need to say to express yourself, it's okay. Amen. Joshua 1, 7 through 9, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do all according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate. You will meditate. What you meditate in is where your focus is. What you meditate in is where your focus is. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written there, and for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Then. You see, one of the things that we think of Torah from our Greco-Roman mindset, all the Torah tells me is how bad I am. No, haven't you read Deuteronomy 28, the first part of it? God continually showed them, this is where you were, but this is where I'm taking you. I want to give you the promised land. I promised it to your father Abraham. I told him you were going to go into bondage, but I also told him I was going to set you free, and then I was going to give you that land. And as you meditate on what I promised you, you're going to begin to get to the place where God prospers what you do, because you begin operating out of your new focus. If I operate out of my old focus, it is only going to produce what was in Babylon. If I focus on the bricks and the slavery that Egypt had in my life, I focus on that, no matter what I try to do or try to hype myself up, all I'm going to produce is more bricks in my life that I got to make. But if I start focusing on the promises of God, leaving those things that are behind, I'm pressing toward the mark. When I leave those things behind and start only focusing on God, then my life begins to produce that which God has said, because the devil has nothing to hook to it, but heaven has everything to plug into my life. It is by our focus we're either opening the door to the devil are closing the door to the devil. By our focus, I'm either opening the door to God or I'm closing the door to God. We need to understand, when I start moving in real faith and taking God at His word, and that what He says is true, let God be true and every man a liar. That as I start focusing on that, all of a sudden I start opening the door for God to begin doing in my life that which He promised, which makes the doors closed to everything the devil promised he was going to do in my life. Does that make sense? Faith. Focus. Now, how many have ever tried to do spiritual warfare? You cannot do spiritual warfare until you have faith. You cannot do spiritual warfare until you have focus. Because if you don't have faith and don't have focus, you're going to start fighting all the wrong things. You're going to fight the wrong battles. You're going to fight the wrong things. You're going to start fighting what God's trying to do in your life while trying to think that you have a supply line coming in. But you end up finding out that's coming from Babylon, because your focus is wrong. Let's look in Genesis chapter 14, verses 14 through 16. Now, this is the same Abraham that when he went down, he was afraid of Pharaoh. This was the same one that he operated before out of fear because of who he was, and he let Babylon intimidate him. Now he's coming up to a situation that he begins moving in faith, and he begins having the right focus, and now that he has the right focus, he is finally able to fight. Now when Abram heard that his brother had been taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods, and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. When his focus changed, he became different. And instead of moving in fear, he began to move in faith. And in the middle of the night, you know, it would be easy for me that if I'm going to fight somebody, I want to do it in daylight. I want to be able to see what's coming. But God had did such a work in him that out of his own household, he raised up an army that took, I think, what was it, four or five kings that he ended up going up against in this situation just out of his own household. One of the things that we need to realize in our love, grace, period, that when God worked this thing in him, when he saw the devil moving, he'd pull out a sword and he said, you know what, Jack, I'm going to cut you if you don't let go of what belongs to God. He had some fight in him before he said, and he trembled and he compromised and he worried about trying to make peace and all these different things so that God had intervened. God says, I want to come to a place, not that I have to intervene, but that when you draw your sword, my power is flowing through your hand so that I cause you to prosper whatever you do. That is God's ultimate best, but he can't do it if you're focused on the wrong things. I want you to write this statement down. God spoke this so plain to me this morning. When you are no longer defined by what is fighting you, you can conquer it. When you are no longer defined by what is fighting you. As God called you to fight Babylon, don't let it define you, because what defines you, you identify with. Is pain defining you? The pain of the past, something happened to you. Is that defining you? As long as it's defining you, you can never conquer it. The family spirits that used to be a part of your family, that when you were dwelling in Babylon, that shaped part of your personality, God begins to reshape you. When you get to the place that doesn't define you, who Almighty God says you are, and he says the way that you should act and how you should believe and how you do, when that becomes defining you, then you can turn and you can fight that which used to conquer you, and you can bring it to your knees. When Moses went into Egypt, Egypt no longer defined who he was. He used to be a prince of Egypt, but now he was a prince of God, and he didn't have to have an army. All he had to have was a staff in his hand and the word of God in his mouth, and he brought Egypt down to its knees because that place no longer defined who he was. He left that place, and he said, I am a son of Pharaoh. But when he came back, he said, I am a servant of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you're going down. What's defining you this morning? Don't even let the fight define you. The fight isn't what defines you. The kingdom of God is what defines you. And when the kingdom of God gets on the inside of you, it puts the fight in you to take down the enemy. What's defining you this morning? Come on. What's defining you? When you stop and think, who am I? What? Now, without working on it, don't wax religious on me. Well, brother, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And the whole time in the back you're saying, pain, sickness, disease, the past, the hurt. That's what really wants to come out of your mouth. But that religious mask that you put on, take off the mask. And what bubbles up out of your spirit, bubbles up out of your soul this morning, you need to take a look at that and says, does that come from Babylon? If it does, I need to nail it to the cross. And I'm going to start working on finding out what God has said about me. That's why I've got to meditate on it day and night. How many have ever been haunted by the past? Dear God. You sit there and you can't be still because you're haunted by the past. And what you're doing is you're meditating on what the devil has done instead of meditating on what God has promised. And it's torment. And the more you're tormented, the more you do stupid stuff because you're not focused on the right thing. Therefore, you're fighting all the wrong things. God tries to bless you and you fight it. God tries to position you, and you're fighting and wrestling with God the whole time because you're giving way to the devil, because he's trying to position you to take you captive again, when God's trying to position you for freedom and for empowerment. Come on now. That's why when these things come up, let me know that it was a long time between God promised Abram that he was going to be a father to the time that Sarah actually conceived. And probably the Lord knows he tried. But every day, what's happening? Dead womb. Dead womb. Dead womb. Dead womb. What's going on? I don't see it come to pass. You see, when he was in Babylon, she still couldn't conceive. And he brought her out of Babylon and she couldn't conceive. And the reason she couldn't conceive is they had to get to the place where they were defining themselves by what God had said, not what Babylon had said. Because Babylon, she may have went to doctors in Babylon, and Babylon says, you cannot conceive, you can't. There is no hope. And so God's saying, I'm going to give you hope, but all the time in the echoing in the background, no hope, no hope, no hope, no hope. And when God comes down personally and visits, brings a couple angels with him and comes for dinner and says, you know what, Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm going to wipe it out. You know, that I've had enough. And so Abraham is negotiating with Almighty God, a Christophanes or a theophanies of God coming and appearing in the flesh. And God is saying, you know, Sarah's going to have a baby, and she's on the other side of the tent, you know, getting stuff ready, and she starts laughing. Yeah, all right. Well, if God was going to do it, he should have done it 30 years ago. Devil ever tell you that? Well, if God was really going to do it in your life, he'd have done it a long time ago. Maybe he's worked this long to get you to the place that he can manifest it. You see, this year is a year of manifesting. This year is a year of a turnaround. This is where the tide is getting ready to turn on the devil. He thought he had you in a tsunami, and God places you on solid ground, and the devil wakes up one morning, and the tsunami is going to be headed at him, and there's going to be Michael the archangel riding on the wave coming in at him. And it has taken God this long to get you to the place to where he could loose that turnaround anointing, so that whenever God would show you something, instead of arguing with him, you're going to turn on a dime. How many prize a vehicle that'll turn on a dime? You don't want to turn it, and 5 minutes later it starts turning. That's not a good vehicle, amen? God's trying to drive your life and getting you to the place of promise, getting you to the place of blessing. God wants you to the place where you can turn on a dive so that you don't miss your exit and have to turn around and go back and try to get back on the road you should have been on if you'd have turned when God told you to. Come on now. Let's go to Genesis 14, 18 through 20. How many know a lot of people are talking about promotion right now in the body? Talking about promotion. The problem that we have is that people want promotion without the faith, without the focus, and without the fight. Come on now. You don't have to. I mean, working and meditating on the right thing is a fight in itself, because you have been preconditioned. You are predisposed to constantly look back at Babylon and let it define you. Just like the children of Israel, when they got out of Egypt and they got into the wilderness, God brought down the most mightiest nation that existed at that time in the earth and brought them out without them having to lift one sword. They saw everything dismantled and destroyed by the hand of God in Egypt, while he placed his hand over them in Goshen, and it never entered there. The darkness did not enter there. Their candles produced light. But in Egypt, you try to light a candle, and even though it was lit, it would produce no light. They didn't have the plagues because they were in a place of safety. And then God takes them out, and the first thing they start looking at is, Oh, you took us out of Egypt, and I'm missing the leeks, and I'm missing the garlic, and I'm They were still acting like they were back in Egypt when God was trying to take them and get them across the Jordan. And as long as their focus was on Egypt, he could never take them across the Jordan. And this year, God is wanting to take us across the Jordan, and he's going to say, you got to start looking at where I'm leading you, not where you've been. You got to have faith. That faith has got to produce the proper focus. That proper focus, all of a sudden, you don't have to work up spiritual warfare. The minute that Abram heard that his brother was captive, he immediately rose up and said, we're getting ready to open us a can of whoop kings. He didn't have to pray it up. He didn't have to fast it up. He didn't have to say, boys, pray for me. I got a fight coming on. He rose up and said, boys, you better hold me back because I'm about ready to trip this trigger and I'm about ready to take them boys down. I mean, the man had a little gangster in him. You know what I mean? You messing with family? I don't care how many kings you are, how big. You messing with my family? Don't you know who I am? I walk with Almighty God. My God has told me if an army comes at me one way, they're going to scatter before me seven ways. Who do you think you are coming against my family? That's what was going on in the heart of Abram when he, let's just get a couple boys. We'll go down there. We're going to whoop them up. We're going to get stuff back. Because he knew who he was. And because he knew who he was, he knew the enemy did not have a chance. But if you don't know who you really are. Now, not what Babylon says you are, because it says you're whooped. You're a puppet. That you're never going to amount to anything. As long as that's defining you, you're simply the devil's lap dog. And all he has to do is move a hand and you're whimpering. When God has called you to be a pit bull in the kingdom of God. And to say, who's that coming in my yard? If you ain't family, you're going down. But God has got to transition our thinking, transition our focus. Because when you get to the fight and you have that oomph, it's not, oh my God, the devil's after me. It's, devil, who do you think you are? You know you got the right focus when the devil starts coming at you. And instead of saying, oh no, he's after me again, you're saying, you know what, Jack? You don't know who you're messing with. I'm a child of Almighty God. I have the promises of God. You have nothing in me to connect to me. Almighty God is flowing through me, and he brought you down in Jesus, and I'm now an extension of Jesus' ministry in the earth, and his power in me is going to take you down, because greater is he that is in me than he that's in Babylon, than he that's in Egypt, than he that's in the world. People try to fake that, and we've seen them gone down. Because they're defined by Egypt, but they try to fake the kingdom. But when you move in faith, it changes your focus and it gives you real fight. And when you have real kingdom bred fight, the devil doesn't last very long. It just took one night. Just one night to take on five kings and to take them down. Just one night, it wasn't an extended battle. Sometimes the battle is drawn out. Because you're fully not grounded in who you are. Now we get to promotion. Verses 18. After the battle, after he comes back, then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the king of peace, brought out bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. And he gave the tithe. That bread and that wine was a pivotal point in the life of Abram. That was the promotion that he needed. He understood. What, every time that we take communion, that we understand what Jesus did on the cross, what elements do you take up? Bread and wine. Because of this one event, forever connected to the Sabbath table, every Shabbat, a man takes bread and wine and he blesses Almighty God for it. Why didn't he reach and get the broccoli? Why didn't he reach in and say, God, you have blessed my house with all this steak or all this turkey or all this ham. You know, not ham, but turkey ham. Turkey bacon. Why does he always reach for bread and wine and he blesses Almighty God? Because of the revelation that when the King of Peace comes, that through the elements of the bread and the wine, his broken body and his shed blood, God is going to free all mankind from Babylon, and God's going to do the work in everyone that names his name, the same as he did Abraham, and that we can come out and we can change our faith, we can have a focus, we can have a fight, so that God can say, I have delivered your enemies into your hands because of who you have become in me. Anytime that you have a great victory, you will have a new level of revelation in God that sets you up for your next promotion. Because it's after this that Sarah conceives. It's after this that he is given the sign of the covenant of circumcision. It is after this that all these things, that this is the pivotal point that God is saying, listen, you failed the test in Egypt, but you passed the test because your faith was right, your focus was right, your fight was right, and because your fight was right, here is the new revelation. Many times in our lives, guys, when it was time to fight and we didn't fight, you didn't get the revelation and you didn't get the promotion. Come on. And God says, okay, I'm going to have to take you back. It's a faith. It's a faith. What does that mean, God? Start believing what I say about you and not what the devil says. Start defining yourself by the kingdom and not darkness. Start defining yourself by what God is doing, not what the devil has done. Come on now. Because God wants to get you to promotion. This whole thing of 2010, the year of the turnaround anointing, and the breakthrough anointing, is God is placing it there so that you can change your focus, so that you can have a fight, because there's a new level that God wants to get you to, and God can't get you to it until you begin moving through these things and pass the test of the fight that you're going to need to fight. Some old enemies of the past are going to show up in your life this year, and are you going to let them influence you, or are you going to bring them to their knees by the power of God? Old wounds are going to be opened up this year. But see, if I'm constantly turning where God tells me to turn, they are not defining me, but I am conquering them. Because until I conquer them, I can't go on. Even when the children of Israel walked into the promised land, how many know that if they did not conquer Jericho, they weren't going anywhere? And Jericho was the hardest area to hit because it had walled cities so great they had chariot races on them, and Israel simply, you know, didn't have a bulldozer, didn't have dynamite, didn't have C4. God had them conquer one of the hardest ones first, and when those walls came down, it opened up all the promised land to them. Promotion. Oh, that'll sink in here in a minute. Let's jump on to Genesis 15 and 1. After he fought, he got the victory. Melchizedek showed up. And that, let me tell you something. When God gives you a victory, give back to God. He tithed of all that he had. Everything that he had gotten, everything that walking with God produced in his life, he made sure that God was honored with that. And then after Melchizedek leaves, God shows up. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Lord, didn't you just see the can of whoop I just opened up on them guys? Didn't you just see? But you know what God is saying? There's some bigger battles you still got to fight. Don't be afraid, Abe. Every time Jesus showed up, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear rule you. Don't let fear do this because I'm with you. Don't be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Now, we don't get that in the English. In the Hebrew, God said, listen, I've got your front. I've got your back. Reward is rear guard. And when you read it in the King James about fasting, God becomes your rear reward. He becomes your rear guard. When you walk with me and you allow me to produce what I need to produce in your life, I've got your front covered with a shield of faith, and my glory has your back covered. The devil is never going to sneak up on you again, because the minute he tries, all I've got to do is whisper in your ear, turn around. Turn around. Devil's coming from this way. I'm your shield. How many know that's promotion? That is promotion. God is getting ready to take us to a level, guys, that we're going to be so sensitive to the voice of His Spirit that the devil will never, ever sneak up on you again. Let me say that one more time. We're getting ready to come to a place to where your past is never going to sneak up on you again. Your hurt is never going to sneak up on you again. Voices from your past are never going to sneak up on you again. The enemy is never going to have an inroad to come from behind and try to flank you. Because when you walk with God, flanking becomes an impossibility. Because God's got you covered in the front. God's got you covered in the back. But it all starts with, whose report will you believe? Whose report are you going to believe? You're going to believe what Egypt and Babylon has said about you? Or are you going to start believing what Jesus is saying about you? Let Him speak to your heart. Let the Word of God show you the possibilities of who you are and what you can do. Because God wants to put a fight in you that hell has never seen. And it's time to scare the hell out of hell. It is time for the devil to know fear. It is time for him to taste defeat. It is time for him to walk in frustration in levels that he has never had before. Because he said, it used to be I could turn them around on a dime. It used to be that I was Geppetto and they were this little puppets that I could work around anymore. And now every time I get around them, they knock me flat on my face. I invest all this effort and it comes to naught because of what God has done in them. Come on, guys. You have got to determine faith, focus, fight, and promotion. And it's only going to come in that sequence. Who are you going to believe? I'm going to believe God. Let God be true and let your past be a lie. You might be saying this morning, how can that be a lie? Because the guy who did it is dead. Do you really believe what Jesus did for you at the cross? Paul said, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new and are of God. The old stuff is dead. If it's dead, why are you letting it control you? Why are you letting it define you? God says, I want to define you this morning with greater purpose, with greater power. And I want to show you what you can become when you begin believing what my word says. I don't care if you have to stand up in the middle of your living room and begin screaming at the top of your lungs and quoting scripture. Do what you need to do to get your focus back on what God has said. Get it back. Get it back. That's part of the turnaround. Get it back. Get your faith back. Get your focus back. Because then you're really going to get your fight. Now, Father, I thank you this morning for what you're doing in our lives. Father, let the faith of Abraham be loosed in us that we can believe what you have said, and let us be defined by the kingdom of God, not by the kingdom of the devil. Open our eyes to see wondrous things out of your word, your promises. Let us see that which you can do on the inside of us, and let it be so great that it drowns out the voice of the devil, that it drives out the voice of the past, in Jesus' name. Father, loose that in this hour. Father, let that turnaround anointing be loosed in our lives. Failure is no longer an option. But victory is our promise and our prize. Father, I thank you for it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.